Today on Insight for Living, Chuck Swindoll will answer a perplexing question. How can it be that people can hear precisely the same Bible teaching, including reproofs, encouragement, and instruction, and respond in a diversity of ways? Some embrace the truth and allow it to transform their lives. Others listen respectfully, but never let the truth sink in. The answer to this question is found in a parable Jesus told. The story in Mark 4 is about a sower and explains why some people change and others don't. Chuck titled today's message, Analysis of a Crop Failure.
If I were a farmer, and if I sowed seed in my fields, and if I gave the same attention, nourishment, time, and effort to all of the acreage responsible to me and for which I was responsible, and I discovered in a few months that some of the crops were 2 feet high, some 4 feet high, some 8 feet high and bursting with produce, some looked weak, some felt of the wrong texture, some tasted bad, they were of the wrong color, I would want to know why. If it is the same seed, and if it is provided with the same atmosphere of nourishment, why is there such variety in the same field? There has to be something wrong with the soil. And I would call for help from those who do soil analysis, and I would find out where the trouble is. Spiritually speaking, that is what drew me to the fourth chapter of Mark in recent days. I want you to hear this story. Whether you read it or not is of no concern to me. I want you to hear it. Jesus doesn't give an allegory, he gives a story. He talks about a man who sows seed. As a matter of fact, he went out for the purpose of sowing seed, and when he arrived at his field, he began to cast the seed, and the first part of the seed fell, it reads, beside the road. Naturally, it was like a feeding trough for the birds, and they swept down and they cleaned it up. In the process of sowing his seed, he came to soil that is called rocky ground, and it wouldn't even take root. As a matter of fact, he specifically says it had no root, verse 6. And then there was the thorny soil. Other seed fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up, and the thorns choked it, and it yielded no crop. And then the good news is there was some good soil, and it grew up and increased, and it yielded some 30, some 60, and even some places 100 times the amount. And so let's interpret with Jesus what he means. First, there's the sower. Verse 14, the sower would be someone who sows the word. So the seed would be the word of God. Principles from God's book. Literal precepts that could be quoted from sections of God's book. Principles that are represented in the precepts. And if you would allow me that dimension, application of the truth that has been presented. It would be the interpretation, the quotation, or the application of Scripture. That's the seed. Please observe in each one of these soils, the seed is heard. No one fails to hear the seed. After this initial conversation, Jesus gives them a rather simple and understandable explanation. He talks about the sower, that would be anyone who declares God's message. He presents the seed as the word. And then he gets to the subject of the soil. And here we find the answer to my question. Why is there such divergence of growth? Why is it one teenager will grow like leaps and bounds when he hears or she hears the message, and another one will remain dull, insensitive, and out of touch? In fact, carnal. Nothing wrong with the seed. Something's wrong with the soil. Let's look at the soil. If you'd allow me, let's call the wayside soil unresponsive. That's the first. That's verse 15. Those are the ones who are beside the road where the word is sown. And when they hear, notice they hear, Mark's favorite word, immediately, Satan comes and takes away the word which has been sown in them. I didn't imagine that. God said that. The birds would represent our adversary, the devil. There is no root. There is an absolute unresponsive chord that is struck. Next, there's the rocky soil. If you will let me use another word, I'd use the word impulsive here. Look at verse 16. In a similar way, these are the ones on whom seed was sown in the rocky places, who when they hear, observe again, they hear, immediately they receive it with joy. But notice immediately, there it is again, because they have no root, verse 17, no root in themselves, only temporary in growth, when affliction or persecution arises because of the word, immediately they fall away. But look at the third. So far, it's fairly simple. All that's needed is to come to faith in the Savior. But now it gets complicated. You knew this was coming. Verse 18. Others are the ones on whom seed was sown among the thorns. What are the thorns? They've heard the word, verse 18 concludes, so there's no question about the exposure. They've been exposed. But the thorns are the worries of the world. Verse 19 begins. This would be the heavy weights of anxiety that preoccupy us. In fact, I would give this category the title preoccupied. The first is unresponsive. The second is impulsive. This group is preoccupied. Now, if you're among the last category, great. And those are the ones on whom the seed was sown on the good ground, and they hear and they respond, some 30, some 60, some to such a commitment that it's 100%. I have a second question. What are you going to do about your soil? You say, okay, I'll give more money. No, you missed it. I said it wasn't a financial problem. It's a heart problem. Can't you see that? Thomas Jefferson said it, when the heart is right, the feet are swift. When the heart is right, one can't be generous enough. When the heart is right, the attitudes are swept clear of negativism and cynicism. When the heart is right, the tongue is controlled. When the heart is right, the vision is clear and we're ready to roll. We'll get this job done. What are you going to do about your heart? I'm burdened about that. It's weighing on me. Now, if you happen to be in the first two categories, it's very uncomplicated. I invite you to come to the cross. What you need is power. What you need is cleansing. What you need is the Savior. Now, you don't need to learn more verses. You don't need to attend more church services. You don't need to pray more. You don't even need to work harder on giving up your sins. You need the Savior. You need to have the blood cleanse your sins and wash you clean so that you now have a channel of power and a reason to go on and the hope of eternity with God. You need that. I invite you this day to be man or woman enough to break through the hardened soil and to turn your life over to the Savior this day. Now, if you're among the last category, great. May your tribe increase. We need more of you. But it's the thorny ones. It's the thorny ones that drive me up a wall. I had a man ask me following my talk on this when I gave it earlier. He said, how can I, he happens to be a fellow pastor, he's looking for tips. And he said, how can I get the thorns out of those people in my congregation? I said, if I had known that, I would have told you that. I would be doing that. He's looking for whistles and buttons and levers, and there is no such thing. You see, this is a volunteer organization. You want to live in thorns? You live in thorns, but the difficulty is your thorns multiply. And your life spreads its venom, its poison, its pain. Your lifestyle is reproduced first immediately in your own family and then in those with whom you come into contact and even in the way you help us direct this church. We're stymied till you come to terms with your thorns. Say, what do I have to do? First of all, you have to confess that's me. I'm distracted. I am deceived. I am a victim of my own desires. I need to deal with that. I have worked with a few alcoholics in my ministry, and I have discovered that I've never begun to help any one of them who wouldn't first say the hardest words that could be uttered from the human throat, I am an alcoholic. You first begin with confession. Second, you begin to repent. It's a process. You begin to pull out the thorns by the power of the Holy Spirit. You analyze your life. You look at your anatomy, your eyes, your ears, your tongue, your heart condition, your sensitive spirit toward the things of God. You move right down into the area of your motivation for living. You're praying, you're giving, your time with God. You analyze that. And one by one, you let the Spirit of God invade each room of your house till He has full control of the thing. I think it might be helpful if you do a little project right now. I've given you an outline in the bulletin. I'd like you to turn it over on the other side. I'm going to give you four words to write down. Just four words. And I'm going to let you make a choice. The first word is unresponsive. So write that down. Unresponsive. The second word is impulsive. Write that down. Impulsive. Third, preoccupied. Fourth is productive. If you will, before you turn it over, put a bracket around the first two and put lost. L-O-S-T, just the word lost beside the first two. Now the question I want you to write, which one am I? You may be a part of the bottom two. I understand that. You would say part of my life is marked by a spiritual dimension, but I have to confess I've got some thorns that are trapping me and causing me to stumble. I would confess to you that I've got worries that I nurture, and I have got desires for things that have no business in my life that I that I promote and I don't cancel out. I have some deceitfulness related to riches that are plaguing me. And when are you going to do something about that? I mean permanently. You know what the main truth of this story is? You've already got it. Maybe not in these words. The harvest depends on the soil. Or if you like the larger version, the result of truth depends on the condition of the heart. It is not a dramatic statement for me to say that we are at a crossroads in our ministry. There are some major, major decisions upon us. Decisions regarding additional services. Decisions related to vision, the expansion of this ministry. Decisions that directly relate to getting this gospel out of this place and around the world effectively, consistently, broadly. Every one of those decisions takes money. Every one. How about beginning with a tithe? You say, I don't believe in tithing. Well, then give more than a tithe. That's fine. You can start with 15%. There would be no difficulty whatsoever if there were that kind of response, that kind of commitment. But you see, that's gutsy. But this is gutsy work. That's how we got started in this city. How about getting serious about prayer? Really serious. You have my permission to get fanatical. Really fanatical, so that it's every day. You pray every day about the future of this church. And teenagers, right now, in this level of your life, you pray, God, what do you want from me? How can I serve you? What direction do you want me to take? Silence my selfishness. Forgive me for getting off track and listening to the hundreds of voices around me. What do you want from me, God? I want to do it. I'll start now. I'll go further this summer. I'll be further along than I've ever been in my life in my walk with you by next fall. But I want to start now. That kind of talk. Without this, friends, we're not going to make it. We're not going to make it. This ministry will be curtailed. Sections of it will shrivel. And by and by, the word will pass. There has been a crop failure. And the thorns will win. I don't believe that's God's plan for us. I can hardly stand to let those words come out of my mouth. But it's your move. If you're lost, give it up. Come to faith. Come to Christ. If you're carnal, confess it. Tell your family. Admit it. Stop it. Start moving in the direction that honors God. And I'll tell you, this thing will take off for phase two like gangbusters. I dreamt the other night I was on a wild horse. I'm not too crazy about horseback riding. I like cowboy clothes, but I'm not crazy about horses. And I was on this horse, and I couldn't hang on. And I didn't have a saddle. I had a rope for a, what do you call that thing you put in their mouth? Mane. No, harness. Is it a harness? Bridle. Thanks, Bruce. You want to finish the sermon? Bridle. I needed that. And I was going like this. And that thing would just right down the streets. I would love for that to be a parable of this ministry. moving like a mighty army moves the church of God. Brothers, this is where the saints have trod. Now, let's get rid of the questions. Let's get back to dreams. Let's get the job done.
Our Father, I ask that you begin to quiet our hearts and to move us closer, ever closer, to a realization of our full, our comprehensive need of your great love and your inexhaustible grace. Not our partial need, but our total need for you and for the ministry of your still small voice of instruction. Please forgive us, Lord, for ignoring the thorns, for being so preoccupied with the worries of this world that we've allowed those things to choke off the wondrous and merciful supply of your peace. Deliver us, too, from the very real and paralyzing effects of the deceitfulness of riches, from striving always to have more and more and more, or clamoring for the approval of others. Help us, dear Father, to surrender all of that to you at the foot of the cross, to repent in absolute surrender and in obedience to your word. May we begin today the difficult but joyous process of allowing you to have your sovereign way in every area of our lives, especially in the deepest caverns of our hearts, to allow your gracious spirit to turn the soil of our hearts so the truths of your word can take root, begin to grow, and ultimately bear the fruit of your righteousness. May you and you alone be exalted in this place, in our families, and in our ministries across the world. I ask these things sincerely in the powerful and the faithful name of Jesus, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
Including his first message in our new series called Growing Up in God's Family. You're listening to the Bible teaching of Chuck Swindoll, and this is Insight for Living. To follow up on today's message, you can visit us online at insightworld.org. Now, there are 16 studies in our current set, and you can purchase the CDs or download the MP3 files by going online to insight.org. While you're online, be sure to browse through the many resources designed to help you grow deeper in your Christian walk. Insight for Living is the recipient of generosity from so many of our listeners. We're especially grateful for our loyal monthly companions who give faithfully every single month. The consistent giving of our monthly companions allows us to make an impact on lives all over the world. Now, if it's been a long time since you've connected with us, or perhaps you've never given a donation, we invite you to do so today. And in order to say thanks, Chuck wrote a special resource for you. It's called Rules for Running a Rewarding Race. Chuck?
Every single day, you and I have a choice to make. We can either live in the past, or live in the moment, or we can live for the future. Now let's think about that. Living in the past doesn't make any sense, because we can't change the mistakes we've made. We can't rewrite our personal history. What's done is done. And living for the future doesn't make a lot of sense either. We cannot predict the future. And even when we try, it just ignites a firestorm of worry or causes us to churn over things that will likely never happen. The writer of the Hebrews letter gives us the key. How do we live in the sweet spot? How do we live in the moment, worry-free? Listen to Hebrews 12:2. We do this by keeping our eyes fixed on Jesus, the champion who initiates our perfect faith. Today I'd like to send you a copy of my own book on this topic. It's brief and to the point. I've titled it Rules for a Rewarding Race. In my study of Hebrews 12, I've identified 7 practical principles. Each one will help you keep your eyes fixed on Jesus so that you can run your daily race with freedom and with joy.
Thanks, Chuck. And here's how to receive a copy of the resource called Rules for Running a Rewarding Race. It's yours when you give a donation to Insight for Living. Simply request the booklet Rules for Running a Rewarding Race. If you're listening in the United States, our phone number is 1-800-772-8888. Or you can request the resource online at insight.org. Your donations allow us to purchase airtime on radio stations and provide Chuck's teaching over the Internet and through our mobile apps. And your generosity is touching lives around the globe. Come see and celebrate what God is doing around the world by visiting vision195.com. And once again, when you give, request the resource called Rules for Running a Rewarding Race. Go online today to insight.org or call 1-800-772-8888 if you're listening in the United States. And that website, one more time, in case you missed it, is insight.org. Tomorrow, Chuck Swindoll talks about growing up in God's family, right here on Insight for Living.
The preceding message, Analysis of a Crop Failure, was copyrighted in 1985, and the sound recording was copyrighted in 2016 by Charles R. Swindoll, Inc. All rights are reserved worldwide.